Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 48.
This one's for Adrian. Former Dallas Cowboy, Daryl Moose Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Hey, all right.
The first fullback ever to be named to the Pro Bowl.
Right on, dude.
They actually never let fullbacks go into the Pro Bowl.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Daryl Johnson had that monster year.
Yeah.
And they let him in.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's cool.
That's for you, man.
This one's for you, dude.
And you get to watch football this year. Greg Hardy's gone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
He's a piece of garbage.
Yeah, my team hasn't signed a damn player yet.
Yeah, that's right. What's up with that?
I don't know, man. We have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's enough.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to since the last episode?
Not much, man. Just been watching a lot of hockey.
Yeah, playoffs just started.
The playoffs are upon us. My Red Wings just won like 10 minutes ago.
Right on.
The series is now 2-1 Tampa Bay. Hopefully we can win next game, tie it up.
That'd be cool.
Make it a home-and-home series.
Right on.
It'd be good.
That's cool.
United still in fifth.
Yeah, they're in the mix.
4 points out of fourth.
Yeah.
Running out of games.
That's right.
Not good.
Yeah. Getting down to the wire.
Yep.
Yeah, and Liverpool, they're like seventh or eighth right now, but they're looking good. Like, I'm really excited for next season. So, and they had a really emotional victory over Dortmund for Europa.
God damn, that was a good game.
That was awesome. But I missed all the good stuff.
Minute 90 plus?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I had my lunch break was over, so I missed like the final 20 minutes of the match when all the amazing stuff happened. Hey, they won.
Shout out to listener Don Julio. He's a San Jose Shark fan.
Oh, that's right.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And if the Sharks beat the Kings, my playoff pool is completely fucked.
Oh, really?
I have the Kings winning the cup.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
So damn you, Don.
That's right. Right on, dude.
I've been watching Coachella.
Oh, yeah. That's been streaming.
On YouTube. The return of LCD sound system.
That's right.
My God, that was good.
Oh, cool.
And last night, two songs only, though.
Oh, I know.
Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
I should have been at Coachella this year.
Yeah, dude.
Supposedly GNR brought out Agnes Young from AC/DC. Some AC/DC songs.
No way. They played two songs. They played, what, November Rain?
And Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Axl Rose has a broken foot, so he's chilling on Dave Grohl's throne, pretty much.
It's funny. Axl sounded pretty good during Welcome to the Jungle, but I think he'd gassed out a bit during November Rain and couldn't quite hit any notes.
Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's been pretty cool. If only like Comic-Con had access to that technology of streaming stuff, hey?
It's not hard. This should be standard.
It should be.
Yeah, like everybody should be doing this.
Yeah.
It works perfectly.
Yeah.
I didn't have any problems with the feed.
Yeah, yeah, mine was beautiful, yeah. It's crazy.
And I got one more thing.
Yeah.
I finally got yours and mine, because I ordered you one too,
yeah.
Copy of the Don Hertzfeld Blu-ray that he was selling on his website with World of Tomorrow on Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Have you not seen World of Tomorrow?
Oh, I've seen it, yeah.
No, but...
Oh, but listeners.
Listeners, have you not seen this? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, get on
that. You
need
to see this.
Yeah.
Buy Don Hertzfeld's Blu-ray on his website. It's amazing.
It is.
It's so good. I gave Adrian his copy tonight. It's going to blow his fucking mind apart.
Right on,
it's
dude.
Awesome.
Right on.
And there's a little coming soon thing.
Oh, nice.
That's going to destroy you, dude.
Oh, sweet.
So good.
Damn.
Yeah. Bitterfilms.com.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little expensive for the disc, but he's putting it out himself.
Yeah, that's right.
So give Don some money. He's awesome.
Yeah, support the guy.
Yeah.
He's a great artist.
World of Tomorrow was a top 20 movie / whatever, short, whatever you want to call it, on Adrian's list last year.
Yeah, that's right.
If I had, you know, I don't put shorts on my list.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good short.
Oh, it's great.
If I'd maybe done it, like short-wise, it would have been, you know, 22 or something like that on my list. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't want to buy the Blu-ray, the rental on Vimeo is like, it's under $5. It's a great deal.
Buy the Blu-ray.
Buy the Blu-ray, though. That's right. Cool. So I've got big news to share. You already know this. I officially cut the cord. I canceled my cable TV.
Damn right you did, man.
Yeah. I was just not watching anything, and footy season's coming to a close. And I was looking at my options for NFL next season, and Sunday Ticket is like super cheap on Apple TV, so I'm just going to watch it there. And I have access to my brother's Shaw login, so I can stream Sportsnet, also A&E, TSN, pretty much any network if I need to. So that's really cool. So and I got the free 30-day trial of Show Me, and that's pretty cool so far. I watched the first episode of Mr. Robot, and that's a great show.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the rest.
So good. It's funny, too, because I did this about a month ago. I bought an HD antenna, and every time you've come over, you've like asked me questions about it. I'm like,
that's right.
I'm like, Adrian's going to do this.
Yeah, totally,
I can just tell.
Yeah.
So I bought a new one for, like, the one I had was working fine, but I wanted to have one in my bedroom, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought another one, and it's a better antenna. So I took my other one down, and I'm going to let Adrian borrow it.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to check it out, see how it works. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, man.
Report back next show. I'm kind of curious.
That's right. Yeah, it's an over-the-air antenna, so it grabs the stuff out of the air and throws it on your TV.
We don't have like a ton of channels where we are, but we get pretty much everything I want to watch, so that's really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Even though you told me your area is kind of weird for signal.
It's terrible for everything.
Yeah
my cell phone reception, I can barely make a phone call. It sucks. Also, how about that trailer for Rogue One? That came out between shows. What do you think of that so far?
I'm done with Star Wars.
You're done with Star Wars?
I'm just joking.
Oh, dude.
No, dude, it looks great.
Yeah.
The super serious Star Wars film.
It looks like it.
Yeah, it looks really serious.
Yeah.
And they got some really amazing actors in that film.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't Ben Mendelsohn in everything?
Oh, I know,
he's
right?
So good.
Yeah.
I really hope this is like a hit. This is the first non-Star Wars film that, like, you know, continues a story or is a prequel. This is the first standalone one. So I'm kind of curious how it's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. I remember even as a child, I was always like, well, how'd they get the plans? Like, they, you know, and then in the end of Star Wars, they're like, we got the plans and here's the Death Star. And you're just like, how did they do it? And that always bothered me as a child, even. So now we get the story about that.
Donnie Yen stole them.
Yeah, Donnie Yen, dude.
Love Donnie Yen.
So
holy
good.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, some choice casting in that movie.
And Forrest Whitaker takes the role of Yoda, pretty much. I can't wait.
His eyes freak me out.
Oh, his lazy eye.
Yeah, it's weird.
Right on, dude.
Should have said that. That sounds bad. Sorry.
Yeah. On that note, let's get on with the rest of the show. Are you ready for some rant action?
Sure, man.
Cool. So if anybody hasn't heard this before, this is The Rant, where we rant about anything movie related. And as always, I'll let you go first, Bill.
All right, man. So can everybody just leave Warner Brothers alone for making Batman versus Superman? Getting a little pissed at everybody just shitting on them. Did you not remember that they made Cloud Atlas, a movie they lost like $100 million on as a geek movie?
Totally.
And then they made Midnight Special, another geek movie, which, by the way, has only made $2.5 million at the box office.
Oh man,
Warner's taken a lot of hits on geek movies, so give them a little bit of a break.
Yeah,
not everything hits, man.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like Batman versus Superman, and even I'm being nice to him.
Yeah.
And I'm a dick. So shut up.
Yeah, it's like you said previously, people are cheering for movies as if that's their favorite sports team.
It's not cool.
Yeah, to hate on a studio like that, you know, would we have the Wachowskis without Warner Brothers? The answer is no.
They also made The Matrix.
Yeah, exactly.
It made a lot of money. It's a pretty risky film, though.
It is.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, leave Warner alone.
Yeah. Screw you, people.
Rant out.
All right, so my rant is about the news that came out of CinemaCon. Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called. Also not streamed.
Not streamed.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. James Cameron announced Avatar and a bunch of Avatar sequels, I think four in total. And then took to film Twitter... and bitched about these four sequels that we've known about for years. Recycling the same stuff. Oh, nobody wants this. I'm not going to watch it. They're going to be there opening weekend like the rest of us. you know, you think about James Cameron, you know, he did Terminator, Terminator 2, True Lies, which Bill might roll his eyes at me for.
Take it or leave it.
Aliens. He's done tons of great movies. The Abyss. And does Avatar. And that just pisses people off. I don't get it. I really don't get it. I enjoyed Avatar. And I'm willing to give him a shot to these sequels. Like, I'm going to be there opening weekend. He's made enough great films in his career that I'm excited to see what he has to say on the big screen. So I say bring it on.
Every time he makes a movie, he makes a new box office record.
Exactly.
So I think people still like James Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
Just a weird thought.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Titanic only made like 2 point something billion dollars, and Avatar made the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people still like him. It's just the mentality, the hive mind.
Yeah.
Bitch, bitch, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
Screw those people, yeah, too.
Screw them all.
Yeah, so that's my rant.
Film Twitter, man.
Yeah. I'm going to give up one day. One day I will retire from Twitter.
Nice.
Right on. So we've got some rant action out of the way. Now we can get into the review portion of our show. All right, let's start with our first film from the great American filmmaker Jeff Nichols. This one is called Midnight Special.
Dad?
Yeah.
Are you scared?
Yes.
You don't have to worry about me.
I like worrying about you.
You don't have to anymore.
I'll always worry about you. That's the deal.
All right, so Midnight Special, what's this movie all about?
A father and son go on the run to get away from the government and a cult drawn to the child's special powers. Yeah, it's an okay.
Yeah, not bad.
It's okay for IMDb standards.
That's right. What did you think of it?
You know, expectations are a bitch, man. They were high on this one. And holy crap, did it deliver?
It delivered the goods, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, you got to cherish good sci-fi.
Oh, totally.
And this is great sci-fi.
Yeah.
Jeff Nichols. You know, bravo to you, sir. You are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Just knocking it out of the park every time. I revisited his first film, Shotgun Stories, a couple days ago.
Okay.
Totally different film.
Yeah.
Just as gripping.
Right on.
Yeah, really good stuff. He's been with Michael Shannon the entire time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Michael Shannon, Joel Edgerton with a really, really cool haircut.
That's right, yeah.
Kristen Dunst, Adam Driver. And this kid named Jaden Lieberher, who's been in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, has he? Okay.
He's always really good. He's kind of got a cool presence to him. What did you think?
I love this film.
Yeah?
I'm right up there with you. Nichols is one of my favorite filmmakers going today. Like, he did Take Shelter and Mud as well. He manages to get these outstanding performances from everybody involved. Like, Dunst. I couldn't really, off the top of my head, I couldn't really think of the last time I really enjoyed her in something. Like, it's not that I dislike her, but in this one, it felt like she really elevated her game in this one. And everybody was just so good.
You're a Bring It On fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's already been brought in. That's right.
Nice.
And yeah, Nichols firing on all cylinders. I think this is a very restrained story where the audience have to be an active participant in this film. And I think that if you only go in taking away the surface level understanding of what's going on in the film, you won't really enjoy yourself. You do have to do a bit of work in this one.
But it's a total ripoff of Spielberg.
Ugh. Fuck those people, man.
So dull to say that.
Okay,
it has Spielberg kind of stuff in it.
Yeah.
But so does 1,000 other filmmakers' films because they all love Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
This is more of a road movie than it is a Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're in a car for half the film.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Totally, like, you know, people are saying E.T. and Close Encounters.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like 1,000 other films.
Yeah. And I never think of the stuff like that. So when I got out of the movie and I finally started to read reviews and tweets from other people, I was just like, oh, not once did I think of, like, you kind of think in the back of your mind, but if you spend your time thinking of all the influences for every film like that, you're just not going to have a good time.
And really, let's break it down. Do you guys not like Steven Spielberg films? I know I do.
Exactly.
This one, I like this one.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really think it was a Spielberg film. It's really adult.
It is.
Spielberg's never made an adult film like this, science fiction wise.
No.
So you can't really compare the two. Yeah, I get the Close Encounters stuff and the E.T. stuff, but, you know, have a little faith in Jeff Nichols.
Yeah.
This is more about, like, family and relationships with, like,
it is
past friends who,
yeah,
people who have bonds with each other.
Yeah.
Really amazingly great bonds.
Yeah.
And you feel really great watching the film because they're just so true to each other.
Oh yeah.
And it's so beautiful. That's one thing I didn't expect from the film, is just how touching it is.
Oh, totally.
You know, I expected the science fiction, the kid has stuff coming out of his eyes.
Yeah.
And then there's this really cool family story and two best friends from childhood.
Yeah.
Who haven't seen each other in a while, but
yeah,
something comes up and they're friends again because they were friends.
Yeah. It's loyalty you cannot purchase. And
yeah,
the chemistry they all have together is really what sells it. And I think that's a big, big, like, big ups to Nichols and Shannon, Edgerton, Dunst, and the little kid and Driver. Like, this isn't a very long movie. And they start you off, like, they just throw you into the mix. And right away, they just have to establish that. But they're very patient in establishing their relationships. And it all unfolds organically. Like, I really, really enjoyed the way it unfolded. I was all the way for the ride. I even had a friend of mine say that this film has no heart. And that really pissed me off.
The fuck?
Yeah, because this film is just loaded with heart and love. I think, again, these young writers that are out online and stuff, they just haven't experienced life the way you and me have in terms of, you know, relationships with other people, whether it's with a significant other or friend, mutual acquaintances, stuff like that. There's just so much life experience that they're missing that I think maybe that's the disconnect in some of these audiences.
I still don't get that. Like, this movie is perfect.
It is.
And yeah, I'm sorry if you don't get the film, but it's really straightforward. I've heard people who don't get the ending. Mm-hmm. One of the characters explains the freaking ending in the film.
Exactly.
Tells you exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And people still don't get it.
Yeah.
What the hell? Are people, like, really not watching films anymore?
I don't know. I think that people just, I don't know. I don't get it because I don't get that aspect either. Like, as I watched it, it all made sense. And I had my own opinions afterwards. I was just smiling ear to ear because it's such a great film.
I guess I'm that weirdo who was in the theater who, like, took one breath the entire film because I was so enthralled with it.
Oh, yeah. Like,
maybe I'm just weird.
Maybe. I was the same way.
I know. Like, seriously. Another cool thing about this film is I'm really happy that Adam Driver is going to have a career that's not just Star Wars.
Oh, exactly.
He's really great in this film.
He is.
As a scientist who just kind of gets thrown into something, he kind of has an idea of what's going on, and then all of a sudden, he is the lead on this entire movie, pretty much. He's the one searching for everybody. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And he's so good. A friend of mine was like, I don't get it. There's a reason why they put a mask on Adam Driver. He's not a very good-looking dude. He can't be a lead.
Oh,
and I'm like, he is charismatic. Did you not see Force Awakens?
Yeah.
Like, Kylo Ren is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's Adam Driver.
Yeah, he's so good.
And he's good in this film. He's like a scientific nerd guy.
Yeah.
Totally different. And it's great. Yeah. And he said, Kirsten Dunst, who hasn't really been relevant lately, probably since the Von Trier film Melancholia, she's great.
Outstanding.
Talk to the heartstrings. Loved her. You know, what can you say about Michael Shannon?
Yeah, he's the man.
He's constant.
Yeah.
Everything. And Joel Edgerton, who is a really good actor, made a really good movie last year, too.
Yeah, The Gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a double threat.
Totally.
I don't know, did he write it? Triple threat. There we go.
That's right.
Yeah. This is an outstanding film. I said to you after I saw it, I said, my top five is made so far this year. And it's Midnight Special and The Witch.
Yeah, that's right.
That is it.
That's right. Yeah. That's a good list, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think The Witch is still my favorite of the year, but man, Midnight Special is right up there, dude. So good.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to pick.
It is.
They're both really good.
Yeah.
Like next level kind of films.
Oh yeah.
Man, Riches. I love it.
Totally.
Yeah. You know, Captain America's in a couple of weeks. This has been a good year, man.
Yeah, it's been pretty solid. It's been
some
so shit far.
Films, but it's been some really damn good films too.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and this is one of them that's right up there, dude.
So yeah, this is a no doubter 5-star.
Right on,
Bill. So
yeah, I second that.
Nice.
All the way.
Nice.
All the way. Yeah, give me some more. I want some more Jeff Nichols.
He's got a film at Con.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The Love Story, supposedly.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Jeff Nichols all over the place, man.
That's cool, man. I'm excited. I guess we have some more on the way.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm guessing we'll see end of the year, I think.
Yeah.
They're already talking Oscars.
All right.
Fuck you.
We'll see it on Christmas Day.
The stupid things just got handed out.
That's right.
Don't talk about this until at least December.
That's right. That's what I said.
And Adrian will still yell at you.
I will still yell at you. Awesome.
Nice.
Are you ready to move to the next movie?
Hell yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Demolition.
Don't ask. It's embarrassing. I closed the car door on my jacket and your sprinklers turned on. And then the stupid lock, it sometimes gets stuck. I couldn't.
You're high, aren't you?
A little bit.
You want some grilled cheese?
All right, Demolition. So what's this film all about?
So directed by Jean-Marc Vallée, an investment banker struggles after losing his wife in a tragic car crash and his increasingly confessional series of letters to a vending machine company, like what the fuck, catch the attention of a customer service rep with whom he forms an unlikely connection.
Whoa.
Like, seriously?
Whoa. Wait a minute. So you're telling me a white guy goes through a hard time, a rich white guy. I've never heard of a premise like this before.
I've heard of a premise about a girl who has the exact same problems and then hikes a trail to try to find herself. Yeah. Oh, wait. That was Jean-Marc Vallée's last movie. It was called Wild.
Yeah, and that movie was awesome.
This is the exact same film.
It really is.
It's the exact same film, beat for beat.
It totally is.
And the weird thing is, I connected more with the girl.
Yeah, yeah.
More than I did with the guy who's pretty much the same age as me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is a bit of a disconnect.
It is. I thought, not to try to compare the two too much, but I just found Wild to be a more, it was a tighter film, and it wasn't as overbearing and ham-fisted as this one. It's just ridiculous. Like, when he decides he needs to turn his life around, he pulls the emergency brake on the train, stops the train. It's like, ooh, now I gotta turn things around. It's like, oh. I feel disrespected anytime a filmmaker beats you over the head and goes, hey, watch his part. He's going to turn his life around right here.
The film had me for a bit. I'm thinking of maybe, 45 minutes or so.
Okay.
I was like, this is all right. This is pretty good, actually. Jake's really good. It's well made. Yes, it's just like Wild. But then it kind of, the same stuff just kept on happening over and over again. Go and destroy some more walls. Take something apart. No, how about for the 15th time, stop doing that, because you've done it so many times, and I'm kind of getting bored of it. Go on to something new. Think about Wild. She had another part of the trail.
Yeah, yeah.
She went to another town. Something else happened.
Yeah.
In this film, Is this Jake beating stuff up with his fist or a hammer or something?
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah.
Drags.
It really just treads water pretty much. I thought basically from start to finish, there's no forward movement in the narrative. And yeah, like you said, like the same stuff keeps happening. He keeps breaking down walls and stuff, and all to the tune of like some 70s disco song or 80s pop song. It's like, oh, I see. We're doing a montage here where that's just going to be like icing over this bullshit script.
Yeah, and being all a metaphor, sloppy.
It was really bad.
Sloppy. I didn't hate this film. I thought it was, you know, still kind of watchable. I think if you're going to remake the same film right after, you probably deserve to be told that by somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's the same film as Wild. And I really liked Wild.
Oh, yeah. Wild's great. Yeah.
So I kind of recommend it. I didn't mind the film. I didn't think it was bad. I know you didn't like it.
Hated this film.
It was just something. I liked a couple parts of the film. I can't slag it. Like, yeah. I did like some of it.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, it just felt like it should have been better.
Yeah. Well, to add to the sloppiness of it, it's in the trailer. He writes letters to this vending company.
And I just said it in the intro. Thank you, IMDb.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, he's writing these letters, and that's just a cheap narrative plot device for valet to turn to the audience and go, hey, look at what he's going through. Oh my God. You got to feel bad for this guy. This good looking, rich white guy. He's got an amazing job, but we got to feel bad for him. He's going to take apart his life, and he's going to take apart things in his life, and he's going to rebuild himself. And I'm just going, F you, Jean-Marc Vallée. There's so many elements to this film. It's like, imagine yourself making soup. He's making melodrama soup and just keeps pouring in all this melodrama ingredients that will make a lot of audiences cry or feel emotional. That's what he wants. And I can respect it if it's really well done, but this is just, he's just throwing shit in there just for cheap tears. And it's just so manipulative. Like, there's some stuff with the little kid. I just kept rolling my eyes pretty much.
Yeah, there's a really kind of annoying subplot with Naomi Watts' character as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. But there's one line that really pissed me off in this film. The kid's like, oh, my mom's a pothead.
Oh, right.
Because she recreationally smokes weed. And I just saw it with like 10 million other people in the U.S. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, all right, I'm dropping out. Like, I just, this side plot pisses me off already.
Yeah.
Ugly.
It should have been his own film, and that would have been a pretty bad movie, too.
Yeah.
Chris Cooper's in this film, and it just feels like he's swinging for the Oscar every time he opens his mouth. He's just so hammy and just not restrained. Everything about his performance bothered me. And I love Chris Cooper. Like, he's a great actor.
I also really didn't like that dancing scene.
Oh, yeah.
Really awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
This, it's not like, Adrian's bringing me down here. I actually don't mind this film.
Yeah.
I do find it kind of funny that the guy who's like, I wear my heart on my sleeve.
Yeah.
Has been like not liking a lot of these films that you're supposed to like have your heart on your sleeve with.
Yeah. But I just don't like the way he disrespects the audience. Me. And I think a big part of it, too. And I don't want to get too controversial up in here. But I'm like this native dude who had a completely different upbringing. It's really hard for me to relate to white people problems. And I just couldn't give a fuck about this character.
What he said.
That's right.
Because I'm an Irishman who also can't relate to these white people problems. Oh, wait. I'm the whitest person alive. My skin is pink.
That's right. Yeah. And I think that's a big part of it. Like, I don't like to generalize, but I'm going to take a guess that the majority of audiences that love this film are probably middle-aged white people, and that's fine. This is for you. It's not for me.
I wouldn't know because I was like one of three people at the screening that I saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Mine was loaded with blue hairs.
Nice. And,
I think they loved it. So
they loved the Jake?
That's right. That's right.
I'm curious now, because I know you don't like this film.
Yeah.
What would you star rate this? Like, one-ish?
I'd give it about a 2 out of 5, nice. Just because I like the performances from Gyllenhaal, and Watts was really good. I like those two. And I was with the film for maybe the first 10 minutes. So
that's a ringing endorsement. There you go. Holy shit.
Okay, 1.5 out of 5.
Okay. Yeah. Like 3, 3.5 maybe.
Okay.
If I'm feeling nice. But I'm thinking more like 3. I did like some of it, but yeah, it's a really light recommendation.
There you go.
It's like a Netflix if you're, you know, stoned.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Or if you just lost your spouse in a car accident and you're a rich white person looking to rebuild your life.
Damn
here's,
you.
Here's the handbook.
Give me my vending machine candy.
That's right.
Yeah, whatever.
Cool, yeah. Cool. All right, well, let's move on. Let's move on to Jon Favreau's latest film, The Jungle Book.
I can't help but notice there's this strange odor today. What is it? The scent that I'm on. I almost think it was some kind of man cub.
Mowgli belongs to my pack, Jacob.
Mowgli? They've given it a name.
It's the bear necessities.
Yeah, simple bear necessities of life.
I really enjoyed Will talking about making bear puns for the podcast.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Pretty good.
Yeah. All right, The Jungle Book. What does IMDb have to say about this one?
Directed by Jon Favreau. I don't like this. I hate this word. Man cub Mowgli flees the jungle after a threat from the tiger Shere Khan.
Yeah.
Played by Idris Elba.
Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Menacing in this.
Yes.
What did you think of the film?
What, you're not going to go first on this one?
Okay, all right.
No, because you're the one who's going to like just okay. Spit fire.
All right, I'm rolling up my sleeves for this one here. Got to spit some hot fire right here.
Do you need some water?
I might need some. You might need to hose me down after this. I don't know. I'll start off with a positive. That's how bad this is going to be.
All right.
All right. The film looks great. The special effects, camera work, all looks very good. The little kid looks the part. That's about the most positive thing I can say about the movie.
Yes.
And also I really enjoyed the performances from Idris Elba, Lupita Nyong'o, and Sir Ben Kingsley. This is just a lifeless piece of garbage that felt like they had so many nostalgia checkboxes they had to tick off that they were just like, okay, we're going to get a set piece from set piece. We're going to do this iconic character, and that character is never going to be seen again. We're going to have this huge opening with Shere Khan, and we're going to forget about him for about 90% of the film, and he's going to come back, and it's just going to be a sloppy mess. Oh, and by the way, Bill Murray and Christopher Walken are here to hijack our movie. They're going to do whatever the fuck they want, and they're not going to give a shit about their characterization. They're just going to be Bill Murray and Christopher Walken. Oh, and they're going to do musical bits that make no fucking sense in this movie. Because they're just talk singing. It's bullshit.
I really enjoyed Christopher Walken's Apocalypse Now moment where he's like scratching his head like Kurtz in, right in his first intro scene in Apocalypse Now. I'm like, they fucking stole that from Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, that's right.
Continue.
Yeah. And, you know, you said that some kids at this screening enjoyed it. I didn't have any children at my screening. But I think that it could be potentially very frightening for certain small children because there are some frightening images with Shere Khan and Bagheera, also the wolves. They fight. It gets very nasty. And so...
And Ka...
Oh, Ka.
Ka is right. Pretty scary, too.
Yeah, Ka is pretty scary. For about 90 seconds.
Yeah, the 90 seconds that Scarlett Johansson's voice is in the film as Ka. Pretty scary.
Yeah.
For kids.
Yeah.
Big, giant snake.
Yeah.
A little freaky.
It is. So, yeah, as you can tell, I hated this movie. I was very disappointed. The little kid, he makes Jake Lloyd look like Daniel Day-Lewis. That's how bad he is. And Jake Lloyd, he's the little kid who is in The Phantom Menace, if you need to remember that. I think that's my initial rant about this movie.
Didn't Jake Lloyd get a DUI a couple months ago or something like that?
I think so. Nice. He's going through some... I think he has mental health issues, which is pretty sad.
Yeah, from the prequels. Probably. Just like all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I didn't mind this.
Yeah?
I didn't think it was bad. Oh, man. I didn't think it was great either.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks you got to bring something new to the equation if you're going to do a remake. Their idea was to make it more dark.
Yeah,
it's not a kid's movie.
It's totally not.
No, it's super dark. I didn't mind the kid. I thought he was okay.
Really?
Serviceable.
Yeah, okay.
You are right about Bill Murray and Christopher Walken. They're in different film. They're doing what they want. There's two songs in the film. There's like the Bare Necessities, which is like the big iconic song. And then just weirdly, randomly, Christopher Walken sings a song.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That's cool. I liked Idris Elba as the voice of Shere Khan. He's pretty awesome.
He's great.
Yeah, just really good. Ben Kingsley brings a kind of like a nobility to his character, which I kind of liked.
Right.
Gary Shandling in his last role.
Oh, yeah. He had a few lines.
Yeah. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
He was great. Love Gary Shandling. It's really nice to look at. That's the thing I responded to the most. Like, the characters look amazing.
They do.
Everything looks amazing. It's really well shot. Like, this is not Chef. This is right. Jon Favreau at his, like, tentpole best.
Yeah.
He made Iron Man before. You know, it's a good movie. This one looks way better than anything he's ever done.
It does.
Looks like it costs, like, $300 million. Like, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, the aesthetic is outstanding. And the set design, all of that. It all looks beautiful.
I don't know, man. It's weird. Another movie I thought you were probably going to like.
And yeah, me too.
You totally told me, like, oh, my God, this is so terrible.
It is.
What the? Where's Adrian?
Yeah, well, it's just there's no sense of geography in this movie, too. Like, I don't want to say too much about it, but there's a bit of a journey that takes place. And then the journey is retraced in, like, 5 minutes, real time 5 minutes. Which didn't make any sense to me. It was just dumb.
Fast warping, like in Witcher 3.
Oh, is that what they were using? Yeah. Okay, they've got the waypoints.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, all right. They used waypoints in the movie. I wish I would have explained that.
Movie made a ton of money, eh?
Oh, it did.
$103 million opening weekend.
See, I love Jon Favreau, so that makes me happy to hear that because he's a good director and. It's a shame. It's a shame that I didn't love this movie. It's a shame that I hated it, but I'll still go to bat for the guy.
Hey, everybody. For our first, like, 5 or 6 shows, every show we mention the movie Chef.
That's right.
And this is my opportunity to re-mention that film, because it is better than this.
Oh, Chef is outstanding.
Chef is an amazing film. If you haven't seen that one, get on that. It's really great.
Yeah.
This is an okay film.
Yeah.
Like Demolition, I'm like a 3.5.
Yeah, I'd give it about a solid 2 out of 5.
Wow, I thought it was gonna be like a 1 or something.
Yeah, no, I did it like you said. The look of the film, you could just put it on mute, and it looks great. You could have that as like your background wallpaper or something. But yeah, just so much of this film, for the life of the film, you need to be invested in that little kid. And Bill Murray, they take up so much time and space. And the whole time I kept trying to enjoy myself, but I was just like, I can't, not with these actors. They're garbage.
So I kind of had this weird thought, like, if Adrian calls the kid from Room, like the white cracker kid, what does he call the kid from Jungle Book? Because he hates him too. Oh,
I will not get racial on the visible minorities.
Do it! No, it's just joking.
No. That's funny.
Cut that if you want. I don't give a fuck.
No, it's all good.
Adrian's turned into the get off my lawn guy.
Well, yeah, I want to see good movies.
Yeah, I understand, man.
This was not one, unfortunately. So disappointed. Kept trying to enjoy myself, and I was excited going in, and just didn't enjoy it. The story just jumbles, and it's a mess.
Don't worry, man. We got another one of these Disney reimagining films in 3 weeks. The new Alice movie.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I saw the trailer for that.
Awful. And I like the first one. I'm the only person that likes the first Alice in Wonderland movie. I'm that guy.
Oh, I hated it.
I will defend that film. Oh, man. I think it is great. It's weird as fuck, and I totally like it.
Oh, yeah. I saw the trailer for the sequel. I was just like, what the fuck? Yeah, you made another one?
Even I was like, wow, that trailer looks really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So it looks terrible.
That should be a fun podcast, too.
That's right. If I see it, I don't know. I've got this thing with Johnny Depp and Tim Burton lately. Like, they're garbage.
Adrian has his list.
He do. Yeah. My veto list.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, not a fan of Jungle Book, but, you know, children might like it.
Swing and a miss.
That's right. Okay, let's move on to the next section of the show, the Movie Club, where Bill picks a movie for me and hopefully the listeners also to watch. We watch a film, we talk about it, and we do drop some spoilers here because they're usually much older films. So for this episode, Bill picked Rififi. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this film?
All right, so it's directed by Jules Dassin, made in 1955, and the basic plot is four men plan a technically perfect crime, but the human element intervenes.
Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Way to go, IMDb.
Yeah.
Are we back on track, sir?
Oh, totally.
Nice.
Yeah, this is the definitive heist film.
Yes.
It's the template for all modern heist films, isn't it?
It pretty much is.
You've got the team get together, they plan, they test equipment, there's a snag somewhere along the way, they have to escape, and there's some consequences to what they do. And that's
one stupid little thing.
Yeah.
That seems like nothing, but just completely destroys everything they've done.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. The idea of, you know, getting the team together, and that's okay. Like, the setup of the film is good. Like, you meet all the people, but this film doesn't get going until they start planning the heist.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing stuff in this film that everybody's copied.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as motion detectors in this film or alarm-wise. So they have to find a way to get around an alarm system that if you make too much noise, it will go off. It's all about sound. So the entire idea of this heist is to do it in silence.
Yeah, yeah.
Silence is a character in this film.
Totally.
Holy shit, is it a character.
Yeah.
And it's so tension-filled because you're thinking, oh my God, did they make that? Too much noise, too much noise.
Yeah.
And the idea of them trying to break, the whole idea of the heist is they have to break into a jewelry store from the building above.
Right, right.
Which means they have to go through the floor.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Quietly.
Quietly.
Yeah.
Holy shit, this is tension filled.
Yeah.
It's I said this last time, it's the coolest heist film I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And super glad you dug it.
Yeah, man. It's outstanding. Like you said, once the heist gets going, I think I held my breath for the rest of the film. It's so good. And the performances are great and it's beautifully shot. Like, as I was watching it, I was like, man, I want to put that on a poster. That shot right there of that character. Oh, I want to put that on a poster. Like, it's beautiful.
So Dassin had no money to shoot this film, supposedly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nobody would give him money. And he had to use a bunch of actors who were not really like the big actors of the time.
Okay.
The lead guy, Tony the Stéphanois, was played by Jean Servais. And as he said on Wikipedia, was an alcoholic.
Oh, no way.
And he looks like it in the film. He's really a rundown dude.
Yeah.
But he's a hard man.
Yeah.
The first time you see him, he's playing a poker game and he's got like a cigarette in his mouth, just looking like, fuck you, I'm going to beat the shit out of you look on his face.
Yeah.
He's just the hard man of of film. Like, he's amazing. Such great presence. he smokes cigarettes like crazy in the film and he has like emphysema.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like,
oh, wow.
He's always coughing, and he's just like, at the beginning of the film, they tell him, do you want to sit down? He's like, no, I will not sit down. Pulls out another cigarette, lights it up.
Yeah. Oh,
so good.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Some of the other actors aren't quite as good as him. I noticed that on a rewatch.
Okay, yeah.
The guy who played Joe, not a very good actor.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all about the heist, man. You know, putting a sock on like a hammer to try to damp the sound down.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it was great. And yeah, like the... and it moves so well. Like the preparation and stuff, that took about 40 minutes. And I did happen to notice that only because I had to get up and get a glass of water. I was like, man, it feels like this movie just started. And
yeah.
I really did not feel the runtime at any time during the film.
Not a lot of cuts.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How awesome is the idea of using an umbrella to catch all the dust?
Oh, that was awesome.
Like, holy shit. Yeah. Where did he think of that one?
Yeah.
And this is the idea of them just trying to not get caught by staying in one spot and being just normal. The one guy, Caesar, the safe cracker, played by Jules Desan, by the way.
Oh, no way. Really? Yeah. Okay.
Who's a womanizer, just cannot stay in the fucking place
he's
supposed
right.
to be at.
Yeah.
Ruins everything.
Yeah.
And it's just so good. Like, the whole idea of it becoming like a chase film at the end.
Yeah.
Because of his one stupid mistake. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And in that bit where his buddy caught up to him and said, "You know the rules." And he said, I know the rules. That bit just got me. I was just like, my heart sunk and I had a lump in my throat and I just got really upset because I was just like, I don't know why, but I always root for the bad guys in these movies. Like, they're doing something very illegal they shouldn't be doing. And I'm always like, you guys got to get out of there. And I don't know. I just always feel invested in those characters.
So nowadays, you probably couldn't disable an alarm by using a fire extinguisher on them.
Definitely not.
No, that's a really cool scene.
Yeah.
Pretty shocking stuff. The scene at the end where after Tony has rescued the kid and he's driving the kid home, it's like a masterclass in editing.
Oh, totally.
Holy crap. That's one of the best scenes I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Everything about it. He's like dying and he's trying to like stay alive while driving the car. And it's a masterclass. I watched it today and I was just like, holy shit, this guy is so far ahead of his time.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keeps that tension going and you don't know if he's going to make it the whole time.
So, did you know Rafifi was banned in a bunch of countries?
Oh, really?
Because they thought it was too realistic.
Oh, no.
They could teach people how to like do robberies.
Wow. I can see how they would think that at the time. That's crazy.
Yeah, first time I ever saw this film, this film was really hard to find for a really long time. And the only way you could see it was in an English dubbed version.
Oh, wow.
And I saw it with my grandpa like 20 years ago. He was really into cool films like this. And do you know what it was called in the U.S.?
Oh, what's that?
Rafifi means trouble.
No way.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's so dumb. Can't just call it by its real name, right?
That's right.
Yeah. When the film was actually released in the U.S., Jules Desan was put on the Hollywood blacklist for being a quote-unquote communist.
Really?
And he moved to France to get away from it. And when Rafifi was released in the U.S., he was technically the first person to break the blacklist
by
having his name on a film.
Yeah.
Which is really, really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just after the last show, I was like, fuck it. There's no way he can't like this film.
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, exactly. And yeah, it is a real crowd pleaser. Like I cannot imagine somebody watching that and having a bad time. It's such a good movie.
I also really love films that just say Finn at the end.
Oh yeah. That's a nice touch.
No credits. Fade to black.
Yeah.
Love it.
And it feels like it ends about 2 or 3 minutes before it should, but it works. It's so good.
Yeah.
Like what was that one film we watched where they were they were on that dangerous road.
Oh, Wages of Fear?
Wages of Fear.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Just boom, fuck you, get out of here. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, it's a great, it's like, yeah, to pull that off is, I can't imagine it's an easy feat.
Cool.
So yeah, I loved it.
We're back on a track.
Yeah, back on track.
Even though I saw some talk between you and Jim Pugliafico of the Movie Bear podcast about In the Company of Men.
Oh, that's right.
And I kind of feel vindicated all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's Team Bill.
Team Bill.
In the Company of Men.
Team Bill.
That's pretty cool. He enjoyed it.
Team Bill.
Yeah.
It's a thing, man. It's a thing. Well,
the way I see it is, it's like, we talked after the show and I was like, it could be like my Clockwork Orange. Like a Clockwork Orange, growing up, it took me at least 5 or 6 tries to watch the film. And I think maybe with In the Company of Men, I'll set it down. I'll pick it up, you know, 5 years from now. Maybe I'll have a totally different perspective. So who knows?
All that matters, man, is we're back on track.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Back on track. So yeah. What do you have for us on the next episode?
Just another thing. If you want to see Rafifi, check out the Blu-ray.
Oh yeah.
Holy crap. Is that Blu-ray spectacular?
It's stunning.
I lent Adrian my Blu-ray, which came with a DVD copy, and I watched the DVD today, and wow, it does not look as good.
No, really?
Holy, the Blu-ray is nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Check that. Yeah, only way to watch that film. Yeah. Supposedly it's got a theatrical re-release in the last like couple months, too.
Oh, really?
So check it in the theater if you can.
Cool.
But yeah, we're back on track, and I thought, fuck it, let's go for a genre film.
Yeah, let's do it.
So yeah. From 2008, from director Bruce McDonald, who, just for the record, is a Canadian. Our second Canadian film in the movie
Represent.
Club. Ladies and gentlemen, Pontypool.
All right.
I got a story behind this Blu-ray I have. At Fantastic Fest, they had a vending machine full of Blu-rays, and they had something called the mystery disc.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember this?
I do. It was like in a brown paper bag, pretty much.
And because I am who I am, I said, fuck it, I'm buying the mystery disc.
Yeah.
And it was Pontypool.
That's awesome.
A film I really love. So I was super happy to get it on Blu-ray. Yeah, this is a really good one. This is one of the cool little zombie films that not a lot of people have seen, I don't think.
Yeah.
I'm gonna change that, hopefully.
Cool, man.
People watch this film.
Yeah, it's awesome. Check it out. Awesome. Pontypool. Yeah.
Pontypool.
Wicked, man. Thanks for that. And Sarah's been bugging me to watch it for probably a good 3 or 4 years.
Nice.
So now I have to watch it.
Dude, your wife knows what she's talking about.
She does.
She probably listened to her.
Yeah, I should. Okay, so if you want to join the movie club, watch Pontypool, and by May 1st, send us your thoughts on the film. We've had other people join us. We mentioned Jim a little bit earlier. Also, Will from Movie Bears Podcast. Both of those guys are from Movie Bears Podcast. Always recommend you check them out. But they've joined us and sent in their thoughts. And it's always fun to get some participation from listeners. So, yeah, send your thoughts. We'll read it on the next show. So you have until May 1st. And that's how Movie Club works. So let's move on to the next section, the lightning round. This is just where we briefly talk about other films we've watched. We won't give them a full review treatment, but we'll just briefly comment on what we saw. You want to start things off?
Sure. You've seen a couple of these, so this should be nice and quick.
Yeah.
Hardcore Henry.
Yeah, with Charlton Copley.
And some dude with a GoPro.
Yeah.
Making me want to throw up.
That's right. What did you think?
I didn't like this one.
No?
No.
Okay.
I thought it was super annoying.
And I can see that. I really enjoyed myself watching this one.
I like to think that my life when I walk around isn't a series of shaky camera movements.
Yeah, it does not need to be that shaky.
No.
I'll fully admit that. I like the soundtrack and the action sequences, even though some of them look pretty cheap and really poorly done. I had a fun time with the concept.
Part of the concept I liked, but I just seriously, I couldn't get past the fact that I couldn't see a fucking thing happening in the film.
Yeah.
And that's a real downer to me. Like you gotta show the goods, man.
Yeah.
If you don't show the goods, I don't like your film.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's just, it's pretty stupid.
It is.
Let's be honest. It's very, really stupid.
Very thin on plot.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
So you liked?
I liked it. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Good soundtrack, cool action. And you know this from me. I love Charlton Copley. And he plays a huge number of characters. And I like that concept behind him playing all those characters. So I had fun with it.
All right. That's cool. Yeah. Can't win them all.
That's right.
Yeah. So I saw The Boss and Adrian didn't.
That's right.
And I do not like Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, that's right.
It didn't get any better, man.
Yeah.
This is the worst of them all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And even her defenders can't defend this one. I've heard people try to, but it's...
Oh, really?
It's so paper thin.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But you know what? Good for her. She's making money and people still keep on coming to her movies. Made a ton of money.
Oh, it has.
So... Once also, you know, people slag on Warner, people slag on Melissa McCarthy. I don't like her movies. I like her personally.
Yeah.
I've never met her.
Yeah.
But I like her personally.
Yeah.
I think she's fine on that TV show, Mike and Molly. And I think she was really good in that Bill Murray movie, St. Vincent, whatever it was called.
Yeah, I've heard good things
about her. She was good in that film. Like, yeah. I like her as an actress. The scripts suck. And the movies suck.
Yeah. And that's the second one her husband directed, right?
Yeah, it's lifeless.
Yeah, I've heard that. I heard enough bad things. I was like, maybe I won't like this one.
I was really hoping you would see it just so you could like join the hate.
But yeah.
Damn.
I'll check it on Netflix.
All right. And a couple of, I know for a fact that you've seen,
cool.
VOD releases, Darling.
Oh, yeah. What did you think?
It's a lot of style and substance, but I didn't really like the film.
Yeah.
It's going for something and it doesn't quite work. It's well shot, I'll give him that, but he has one little device he uses a lot and he keeps on coming back to it.
Oh, what's that again?
It's a spoiler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
But nice try. It's well made.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it.
Okay.
Did you like it?
I liked it. I would give it about a 3 out of 5. Like, didn't love it. I loved the style. I loved the look of it. I thought that woman did a really nice job.
She's good. The main actress, she's really good.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was good, but it's not one I would recommend to people because it's, I don't know, it's just one of those films where you can enjoy it, but maybe not everybody else will feel the same way. And that's fine.
How about I use the term shock cuts?
Oh, yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Over and
goes
over.
Goes to the well
over
on that
and
one.
Over and over. At the beginning of the film, there's like a warning label that says like lots of strobing.
Oh, yeah.
That also got really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I can totally see that.
Good on you, Mickey Keating.
Yeah.
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 And, you know, this one I've been waiting for since you saw this last year at South by Southwest.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's been like a year and a half.
It has been.
Yeah. The Invitation.
Yeah, man.
Holy, man.
This is a cool movie.
This is a slow burn masterpiece.
Yeah.
I love this film.
Right on, dude.
Yeah, it's great.
Right on.
I kind of thought I saw where it was going, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's doing exactly what I thought it was going to do. And then there was that ending.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, all hail this film.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Lovely, man.
It's, yeah, really something special. And cool performances from a bunch of basically unknown actors, right? Like,
that one dude on Game of Thrones?
Yeah. And that's what you're going the whole time. I've seen that guy in Game of Thrones. I've seen that guy in some comedy show. That girl's been in something else, but they did a great job.
Yeah, man, it's really good. It's Draft House Films, available on iTunes, all your VOD stuff.
Yeah,
spend $10.
Yeah,
or less. I think it was like $6.99 in Canada.
Yeah,
so it's probably like $5.99 in the US.
Yeah, and you can buy it for $12 or $15. I think.
Just watch it. It's awesome.
It's really good. I love the performances and the ending just, I had chills as I was watching. I was like, shit.
Yeah, holy man. That's
so good.
That film stuck the landing.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Big time.
Good stuff.
Yeah. What else you have?
That's it for me, man.
That's it. Cool.
I've been watching a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
You know,
I've got two more titles to add to Lightning Round.
Cool.
This one you mentioned maybe 2 years ago, Sunshine Superman.
Yeah, I saw that at a film festival.
Yeah, I think you saw it at Victoria.
Victoria, yeah.
It's about the guy who created base jumping. Started out like basically just jumping off like cliffs and stuff.
And like TV towers.
TV towers. And then he was like, hey, there's really cool high-rises they're building in Los Angeles. Let's go jump off those. And all that stuff is awesome. And they show like all of their actual footage. And it's breathtaking.
Yeah.
And man, I really, really enjoyed all that stuff. I thought it lost a little bit of momentum in the end. But overall, I was really glad I watched it. Really enjoyable.
Trying to remember what BASE stands for.
Oh, I can't remember.
It's an acronym.
Yeah, they mentioned it. But
F.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you basically have to meet certain criteria to qualify as a base jumper. It's not just jumping off a building. You have to do a bunch of other stuff.
Another thing I will never do in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so afraid of heights.
Yeah, that's right.
As you sort of found out when I was on a plane.
Oh, that's right. And I threatened to open the window. Yes. And you were like, no, fuck you. I was like, okay, yeah. All right. No messing around on this.
Did I have crazy eyes when I said it? Like, shit. Yeah.
No, it was just like, I was like, okay, I get it. All right, I won't fuck around.
I was having a complete panic attack.
That's right. So yeah, let me see if I can roll this down. And I also I just wanted to mention this because it just came out on Blu-ray. It's The Force Awakens. Rewatched that for probably the fifth or sixth time or whatever it's been. Love that movie so much.
Did you watch the documentary?
I haven't watched that yet.
Ooh, that's good stuff.
I watched the live read, which is like a 5-minute thing.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah, it's like an hour, 5-minute documentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It's really good.
Awesome. So, yeah, love that movie all over again. And that'll be at lots and lots of viewings in my place.
The deleted scenes were kind of useless.
Yeah, I never watched deleted scenes because I just don't want to alter my take on the movies.
Yeah, you're not missing a lot.
I'm weird like
that. Yeah, it's fine.
Cool. Well, that's it for me for Lightning Rounds.
Cool.
I've been watching more of just TV shows and stuff, so yeah.
You're making the transition to being cableless.
That's right. That's right. Cool. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to what do we have coming up in the next episode?
All right, so April 22nd, Elvis and Nixon. Michael Shannon?
Oh, right. This looks cool.
And Kevin Spacey.
That's right.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Probably won't even open here. I think it's pretty
probably
limited.
Probably not, yeah.
This one's already opened in Europe, and it's getting destroyed.
Oh, really?
Huntsman Winter War.
Oh, nice.
I think it opened last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's getting destroyed. Really bad ratings everywhere. I like the first one quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
Fuck you. I'm not ashamed to say that. Everybody, same here. I'm not ashamed. I like Alice in Wonderland too. I already said that.
Cool.
Not ashamed.
All right.
And this one looks terrible. Looks like Frozen with adults.
Oh, okay.
Like ice powers flying everywhere.
That's right.
Charlize and Emily Blunt are like sisters who are warring, and Thor Sr. is there.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've like buried this one, haven't they?
Yeah, it looks really bad. I'll still see it. Why not? Tom T. Quare has a new film, Hologram for a King with Tom Hanks, which I heard's really weird.
Yeah.
It's already screened in Vancouver.
I
know some people who have seen it say it's really strange.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I like strange.
Yeah.
And I love Tom T. Quare. It looks just like the Cloud Atlas stuff he shot.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's really cool.
Sign me up.
The trailer is pretty cool. Tom Hanks does a little riff on a Talking Heads song in the trailer. You seen the trailer?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And on VOD and in theaters, Drafthouse Films presents Men and Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like this one.
I loved it.
Really? It's really strange.
Mads Mikkelsen, he's a chronic masturbator.
Yeah, and it's really hard to explain. It's so strange.
Yeah.
It almost might be worth watching just to see how strange it is.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Bunch of weird brothers beat each other up for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And there's like bowls and chicken and cheese, and it's really weird.
Yeah.
really weird.
Yeah.
April 29th, finally, we get to see Keanu.
Keanu.
Yes, Key and Peele.
Yeah, that's right.
And a cat.
Yeah, it got slammed at South By, but I still want to see it.
The trailer is hilarious.
It is.
And I like Key and Peele a lot.
Yeah, they're so funny.
I'm definitely there first day. One I will not be seeing, but Adrian can if he wants.
Hey.
Mother's Day.
Oh, goodness. No. Sarah might drag me to that.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh, dude. No. No.
No thanks.
What's with Julia Roberts' haircut in that trailer, by the way? Oh,
terrible.
Yeah.
Who's the brains behind that again? Is it Columbus?
Gary Marshall?
Marshall.
Yeah.
I know it's one of those two.
Yeah. Is this the third film?
I think so.
New Year's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and now that, yeah.
Yeah.
So terrible.
Running out of days to celebrate, I think.
Yeah. won't be seeing that one. Yeah. Sorry if you wanted to hear the review.
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank, which was a PlayStation game.
Yeah, I didn't play it, so I know nothing about it.
I didn't play it either.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool, though. Supposedly the new Ratchet and Clank game for PS4 is really good.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see it. It looks really good. Supposedly cool. The video game has a third of the movie in the video game as cutscenes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Ah, interesting.
And last but not least, the film we've both seen, I think we have different views on it, on VOD and in theaters 2 weeks later, High Rise,
yes.
Ben Wheatley.
It is.
We have a little bit of a hit and miss with Mr. Ben Wheatley.
That's right.
Whereas by that I mean, I love his like first four films, and I'm kind of mediocre on his last two.
Yeah.
Actually, I hate his... Not High Rise, but yeah, the one before it, A Field in England. I hate that film.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. I had to review that one.
Really?
And that was like, it was me just going, what the fuck, for, 600 words.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Some people love it, and I asked them to tell me why they loved it, and they started talking about mushrooms and all this. I'm like, that's not the fucking film I watched.
Yeah.
High Rise, I thought was really good for a bit, and then it dies at the end.
I just had so much fun. I won't say too much about it, but what's that actor's name?
Hiddleston?
No, the...
Luke Evans. Yeah, Luke Evans is awesome.
He is just a force to be reckoned with in this film. And that was enough for me just to go, fuck yeah, High Rise.
I want to revisit it, so I'll check it out again.
Yeah.
I was knee deep in a film festival.
Yeah.
And it's a different film.
Oh, totally.
It's Ben Wheatley.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen any of his like first films, if you haven't seen Sightseers, which is so good.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Sightseers or Down Terrace, holy shit, Down Terrace is great.
Yeah. Kill List if you have an iron stomach.
I remember seeing Kill List at the Vancouver International Film Festival at a midnight screening.
Okay.
And I would say 90% of the theater walked out.
Really?
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
I love that film.
So do I. And I thought, success.
Yeah, totally.
Thin out the week, man.
Yeah. Kill List was actually one of the very first films I rented on demand.
Nice.
I think I rented on like Xbox Marketplace or something. It was kind of cool. Yeah.
Right on. That's cool. It, man. Should be a... okay, next show, I guess.
Yeah, we'll keep the hits coming.
Yeah, and hopefully everybody wants some finally opens here.
I hope so.
Getting really pissed off that I haven't seen that film.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, and I think Green Room goes national on the 29th.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh.
That'll be pretty cool.
I can't wait to hear from people who had their minds blown up by that film.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, it's great.
That's a great film. Yeah, if you haven't seen that, go for it.
Yep. Cool. Well, that's the upcoming films. I guess we can start to wrap things up, tell people where they can find us online. You're on Twitter, right?
I am at SoundJam69. Go Red Wings. Go United. Go Boston Red Sox.
Oh, man. Why are you going to take us down like that? And the show has a Twitter account. We're at @thegreen_screen. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. You can also find us on Facebook. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death and hit like. We usually post a few things there. In terms of podcast platforms, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio, anywhere you can listen to a podcast. And we'd really appreciate it if you'd hit like on us and leave a comment, leave some feedback. That'll help us find a wider audience. We'd like that.
Tell Adrian why he's wrong about Jungle Book.
Yeah. Yeah, feel free to chime in. Feel free to try to correct me on that. Again, thanks anybody who's checked us out. We've noticed a lot of activity on our feed lately, and that's really cool. So we're happy about that.
It's all the in the company of men fans coming out. And
I think so.
Yes.
That's right. And big, big shout out to California, because most of our listeners are from California. That's cool.
Are you all at Coachella this weekend?
Hey, yeah, maybe they're at Coachella. They're going to be recovering as they listen to this.
Damn you. I'm so jealous.
That's right. Cool. Well, on that note, I guess we should wrap it up. So thanks very much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Peace.